The following program is presented by the friends and partners of John Carmichael Ministries. Find out more online at www.johncarmichael.net. Today on Kingdom Now with John Carmichael, discover how amazing your life can be and experience the kingdom power that only comes from God. Today on Kingdom Now.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this house right now. Come on, everybody, lift your hands before the Lord and just say that out loud. Say, God, I welcome you in this house. Holy Ghost, we welcome you here tonight, God. You're here tonight to move freely. Come on, can you say that? Say, Holy Ghost, move freely in this house. Move up and down every aisle. Touch every person tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we are calling for you tonight in the mighty name of Jesus to touch us tonight. May not one person leave this room the same way we came in. But God, may we walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. God, may we walk in your Spirit tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want you, if you could, to take the hand of somebody next to you. Would you just pray over them tonight? Would you bless them? I know they look like they got everything going on real good, but they're probably in need of a miracle just like you. I want you to pray for them. Father, we pray for those who left and the right of us, oh God. God, those that we know, those that we don't know. Father, it matters not because, God, you love them. And, God, you're going to move on their life, God, in power. God, you're going to move on their life, God, today with signs and wonders and miracles tonight. God, they're not going to walk out of here the same way they came in. But, God, you're going to move on their life. God, you're going to heal their body. Lord, tonight, God, you're going to touch their family. God, tonight, you're going to give them peace where there's been oppression. God, you're going to begin to open up heaven. And no more oppression, no more fear in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for it tonight in Jesus' name. Peace, peace, peace right now. Peace right now over their heart, over their mind right now in Jesus' name. I declare peace in their family. Jesus. 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 Oh, God. I want everybody to lay your hand on your chest tonight. I want to leave you in a prayer. It's a very powerful prayer. It's a prayer where we say, God, I surrender to you. If you're in this room tonight and you don't know the Lord, you've now been walking with Jesus Christ, we need to fix that right now. You need to surrender your life to Jesus tonight. Everybody say tonight. You need to do it tonight. But I know there are people in this room, you love the Lord, you've been walking with God, but you know, Jesus said it like this: if any man would come after me, he said he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Every day I have to say, God, I'm yours today. I'm yours right now. So I want you to say this with me. Say, Father God, I thank you tonight that you love me. I receive the love of God into my life. You sent Jesus to live on the earth, to die on a cross. And I believe you raised him from the dead. I make Jesus Christ Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. Take out of me everything that needs to go. Put inside of me everything I need to be the person you've called me to be. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, if you got your Bibles, I want you to hold them high up in the air. We're going to get right into the Word tonight. If you're teenagers, you may be dismissed into your classes. The rest of us, say this out loud with me. Say, this is my Bible. I believe it's true. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. I receive the Word of God with faith. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. God bless you, and you may be seated. In the presence of the Lord, open up your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Genesis chapter 18. Everybody say Genesis 18. Hallelujah. My clock's not started yet. I'm going to start it in a minute. There's a great anointing for healing of miracles in this house right now. Hallelujah. I said there's a great anointing for healing right now in this house right now. If you're sick in your body, if you need a miracle, I know I just had everybody sit down, but because I like to help protect people, I want everybody to stand back up. There's a reason for this. You just need to trust me. I'm a professional. Everybody look at his truck. He's a professional. He knows what he's doing. Why don't you just lift your hands up before the Lord? God's going to begin to heal some folks right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a great, powerful anointing. I want you just to begin to say, God, if you need a healing, just ask for that healing right now. Right now, God's taking pain off of people. God's restoring bodies. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, before we continue praying, hold on a second. You can put your hands down a minute. How many during in the last 6 months have you experienced some level of healing? And I'm going to say, lift your hand up. Look at these hands right now. Oh, my goodness. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a great big hand of praise for that. All over the house. Those of you watching online, it was all over the house. God is in the healing business. Can I hear an amen? But how many in this house still need God to touch you in some way in your body? Keep those hands up right now. Father, I thank you that there is healing already. We've read testimonies, God, already, people saying they're healed. But God, I pray right now. Come on, just close your eyes. Say, Father, I receive my healing right now. Father, I receive it right now. God, I pray over every person in this room. God, that's releasing their faith right now. I pray over every organ, every tissue. I curse right now sickness and disease off of your body today. I rebuke cancer. I rebuke diabetes today. I curse heart disease, macular degeneration. I rebuke every generational curse that's gone down from mama and grandmama and great-grandmama, everything that's spread all over your family. I rebuke that now in the name of the Lord Jesus. I declare today that you are free and redeemed from every sickness. Every sickness, a blood disorder. If you got a, that's you. Some people are laying, patting yourself. I just heard that. Blood disorder right now. Lift your hands up. Say, God, I receive that right now. God, I receive that right now. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Somebody's going through, and I don't know exactly what this means. Just keep worshiping. Just keep worshiping the Lord. There is a Holy Ghost chelation that God is doing. Does anyone even know what that term means? I just heard that right now. Chelation. Is that something? Because I've never heard of it. I heard that just now. Lift your hands up right now. Father, I thank you for a Holy Ghost chelation. Does it have something to do with blood? It's the cleaning of the blood. Is that true? Father, come on, lift your hands up. I don't know all that stuff. I'm not that smart. Come on. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just keep praying for a moment. Just let the Holy Ghost do his work. I'm not in a hurry, are you? I'm not in a hurry. I want God to do what he got to do. Father, do what you got to do tonight. Do what you got to do tonight. Do what you got to do. Hallelujah. Wayne, watching online. Everybody just keep praying. I'm going to speak to someone. Wayne Banks, watching online right now. Wayne, get ready. There's coming a change in your life. Wayne, get ready because you've walked through a lot of loss. You've had a lot of loss. You've had a lot of loss. A lot of loss. And you've actually had more losses. There's people around you that'll know. But you've had losses that you've not even told anyone. But God says there is a coming upon you, a restoration, and it's going to affect your spirit. It's going to affect your mind. It's going to affect your body. Get ready. It's even going to touch your finances. And Father, I thank you for Wayne Banks. I don't know who he is. I don't know what you're wanting to do except what you just told me. God, I speak over him right now. Wayne, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. 2024, get ready, Wayne. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Now, how many would say, wow, that sounds really good. I wish somebody prayed that over me. How many like that word Wayne just got? Yeah. Lift your hands up. You say, God, I want that for me. Father, I thank you. You're no respecter of persons. And God, I pray that right now in the name of the Lord. All over this house, watching online tonight in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for doing your work. In Jesus' name. Now, I want you to, those of you who are seeking healing tonight, that you were needing God, I want you to begin to check your body right now. Start checking your body right now. Start checking. Start checking. You're checking for healing. How many can tell any difference at all right now? So what you were praying for tonight, you can tell a difference right now. Wave at me. Wave at me. You can tell a difference in your body right now. You can. All right. Anybody else? You can. All right. Back there. Oh, got a big waver back there. Hallelujah. Careful. You're going to hit somebody. Anybody else? You got. You say, I can tell a difference in my body. I can. You can feel a difference. Some things you can't. Some things you got to wait. That's all right. We had several. Can we give the Lord a great big hand of praise for that? Oh, yeah. You may be seated. You may be seated. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. I'm going to talk about something that's going to affect some of your theology, so just hang on. Everybody say, hang on. We're going to love each other at the end of this message, ain't we? I said, we're going to love each other. I heard somebody say, well, I don't know. We'll see. No, I'm just kidding. This passage is going to challenge some thoughts that some people have. I don't know that much in this church. And I'll say this. If you get challenged by the Word of God, just hang on and just kind of take a deep breath and ask yourself some questions. Am I going to hold on to what tradition has taught me, or am I going to receive what the Word of God tells me? Amen? I can tell you right now, there have been times in my life where I had a belief and then got confronted with the Word and something had to give. Amen? And I do my best. I know we all have biases, but I do my best to try to let the Word of God tell me what to believe and for me not to try to twist the Bible into what I feel is comfortable to me. Amen? So there's going to be a story here in the book of Genesis chapter 18. And it's going to be about a man by the name of Abraham. We've talked a lot about him. This is part 6 of our series, Immersed in the Blessing. And to get the most out of tonight, I do encourage you to go listen to the last several messages. There's going to be some things we're going to talk about that you probably might need to hear in order to understand it. But you'll get something good out of it. But Abraham is standing before God and God's going to tell him something. And he's not going to like it. It's going to mess him up. Now, God says, going to tell him, I'm getting ready to do such and such. Now, most of us, if God says, walks up to us and we're talking to God and God says, I'm getting ready to do blank, most of us think the appropriate response is, well, okay. But that wasn't the response that Abraham gave him. We're going to read it in a minute. Abraham's going to say, now, wait a minute, God, that don't sound like you. God, that don't sound like you. That don't sound like the God I know. So we need to talk about this. We need to negotiate. Somebody say negotiate. I've already gotten in trouble. Someone saw the title online. They said, what do you mean negotiate with God? It's titled tonight's message, Negotiate with God. You tell me what this sounds like. I'm going to read the whole passage. We're going to read verses 22 through 33. I don't normally read that long of a passage, but we have to, because there's no way to get the story by just reading a couple verses. So follow along with me in your Bibles, if you will. It said, then the men turned away from there and went to Sodom. God had just said, I'm about to destroy Sodom and then Gomorrah. Destruction's coming. It said, while Abraham was standing there before the Lord, Abraham came near. And listen to this question. Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What a question he asked God. He said, suppose there were 50 righteous in that city. Will you indeed sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of 50 righteous who are in it? Now he's talking to God. God said, this is what I'm about to do. And Abraham's like, I don't know about this, God. So he goes on to say, far be it from you. Can you imagine the perceived disrespect that was for God, for Abraham? I mean, he's just a little bitty old nothing of a human standing before the Almighty God, and he said, far be it from you. Isn't that interesting? Shall the judge of all the earth deal justly? Boy, I mean, he ate his Wheaties that day. He's feeling himself. I mean, you done told God, are you really going to do that? Is that really what you're going to do? No, that ain't what you're going to do. So listen to what God says. God goes on and says, I will not destroy it. Oh, wait a minute. I missed my spot. He said, will you just, let's see. I missed my spot. Just hang on. I ain't got my glasses on. Just hold on. Verse 26. So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare it, the whole place, on their account. He negotiated. He read Trump's book, The Art of the Deal. Democrats, you can laugh too. Good grief. He got his deal, right? He said, I'll not do it. So verse 27. So Abraham replied, now behold, I've ventured to speak to the Lord, and although I'm dust and ashes, suppose the 50 righteous are lacking 5. Will you destroy the whole city because of 5? And he said, I will not destroy it if I find 45. I'm glad that God did the math there. So he spoke to him yet again and said, suppose 40 are there. And he said, I'll not do it on the count of 40. And then he said, oh, may the Lord not be angry. I think he realizes I'm pushing my luck a little bit. May the Lord not be angry. Suppose 30. Now, before he was going down by increments of 5. Now he dropped by 10. Y'all see that? Suppose 30 are there. He said, I'll not do it if I find 30 there. He said, now suppose I have ventured to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are there. He said, I'll not destroy it. That's God, God Almighty, who already said what he was going to do. He said, I will not destroy it on the count of 20. Verse 32, he said, oh, that the Lord may not be angry. And I shall speak only this once. Suppose 10 are found there. And he said, I will not destroy it on the count of 10. Verse 33, as soon as he had finished speaking to Abraham, the Lord departed, and Abraham returned to his place. Tonight, I want to talk to you about negotiating with God. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I thank you tonight for the anointing that's upon your word. I pray, Father, that you would help us, God. God, some of this, it might upset some of our current belief system. But God, I pray that you would help us, God. Help us, Lord, to receive what we need to receive. Holy Spirit, I ask you to be our teacher tonight. God, I ask you to open our hearts in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Can a human negotiate with God? That's what we see in this story. Will God relent from doing something that he said he was going to happen? Because what he said in the prior verses there, you can look at there, is he said, I am going to destroy Sodom. I'm going to destroy these people. The sin has gotten to such level that now destruction's coming to all of them. And so he's going to send these folks there to judge it out. But my question to you tonight is, are we to just accept what's going to happen as God's will? That's what I've had people tell me. That God does whatever he wants to do, and he doesn't do whatever he doesn't want to do. That God's will is sovereign and static, and if something happened, it's because he wanted it. If it didn't happen, it's because he didn't want it. And there's nothing we can do about it. We don't play a role in it. God's God, and we don't have a part to play. However, we see that very different. That's very different than what's going on in this story, isn't it? We see God making a decision, I'm going to destroy the whole city. And we see Abraham. Now, there's a very interesting thing about Abraham. Number one, Abraham, and we'll look at this verse a little bit tonight. In chapter 12, a few chapters earlier, God said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make a name through you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to be there with you. And then God is going to say in this chapter, you can look it up in the next few verses prior to the passage we read. God said, look, will I withhold anything? I'm going to tell Abraham. He said, I'm not going to withhold anything from Abraham. Abraham had a relationship with God that was unprecedented, where God would not even do anything. That's what it says in the chapter of this book. Go look at it. He says, I'm not going to do anything unless I talk to my servant Abraham about it. Can you imagine that? That's interesting. Abraham. Somebody say Abraham. Abraham had that kind of walk with God that God would allow him to come before him, negotiate with him, talk to him in a way that I don't know about you, but that sounds a little disrespectful. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I know some of y'all are scared to death to talk to your spouse about this. Husbands, I see you looking at me like that. Wife says something, I ain't saying nothing. We doing what she wants. Y'all know what I'm talking about. People are scared to death to ask their boss for a raise. Come on. Here you've got this little human standing before God Almighty and negotiating because he has a relationship with him that James would say that Abram was called a friend of God. Amen? Now somebody might look at that and say, well, that was Abraham, man. That's awesome that Abraham had that. But I ain't Abraham. Well, I'm glad you think that way. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14 says this. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Because cursed is he who hangs on the tree, verse 14, look at this, in order that in Christ Jesus, look at this, the what? The blessing of what? The blessing of Abraham. What God did in Abraham's life might come to the Gentiles. That's to everybody. Everyone y'all in the room are Gentiles. Y'all know that? That the same blessing that God did in Abraham's life, what we see God do, that's why there's so much of the Bible about Abraham. Because we can look at what the blessing of God did in Abraham's life and say, God, what you did in his life because of Christ, you want to do in mine. Can I hear an amen? That means that now, if that be true, if this verse is true, and I only say if, just as for argumentative purposes, the reality is this verse is true, that what God did in Abraham's life, God wants to do in yours. That means that the relationship with God that he had, the ability to stand before him boldly, the ability to be able to talk to him and come before him without fear, that's on you, my friend. Can I hear an amen? That's on you. So tonight, I want to talk to you about five powerful truths. If you got a pencil and piece of paper, you can jot those down. Or if you got the study notes that came in, or if you can get those as you leave tonight, either way, they're online as well. I want to share with you five things, five important truths about how we need to approach God, understanding that the same blessing that was on Abraham is on us. You see, Abraham was able to make this negotiation with God because he had something. He had the blessing. How many believers in Jesus Christ do we have in here tonight? I know I ask you that a lot. I just want you to remind you that that's who you are. You are a believer in Jesus. Therefore, what God did here in Abraham's life, he wants to do in you. This is the relationship that we have. Here's five truths. Number one, God wants us to pray in line with his nature. his nature. What was the point of the negotiation? What was the first initial point? The point was, he said, God, I know you're not the kind of God that destroys the wicked with the righteous. That is not your nature, or the righteous with the wicked, rather. That is not your nature. You don't destroy righteous people, but yet we know there's righteous people there. Now, there didn't happen to be 10. Only 4 went out, but that's a whole nother story. But the point was, he knew the nature of God, that God makes a difference between those who love him and those who don't. That's important. Because too often we will pray prayers that are not in line with the nature of God. Now, someone would ask a question. How can I know the nature of God? How do I know what he wants? Well, a good place to start is the Bible. Amen? That's why you are employed here. I implore you to read it and study it and stay in it. Why? Because the Bible reveals God. It's called in theological circles specific revelation of God. See, there's general revelation of God. That's the whole world. That's nature. That's the planet and the stars and the moon and all that. Looking around. I mean, you study nature. You study all this stuff. This stuff had come from somewhere. Someone said the Big Bang. Well, who banged the bang? Where'd the stuff that was in the bang come from? No, I'm serious. And then when the physicists look around at everything, and they say that everything in the universe is in a process of decay. That means that we know that it hasn't been here forever, because if it had been here forever, it wouldn't be here now. And some of y'all will need to think about what I just said for a long time. But specific revelation of how I can know what the nature of God is I know the nature of God through his word. Can I hear an amen? But specifically, within the Bible, there are these names of God. In fact, there's what we call the 7 redemptive names of God. Names that God gives himself. Now, over the course of these last, during this 21-day fast, we've had this prayer guide. And I hope I can find it. I've got like 20 messages. I don't know why I've got all these up here. Here it is, right here. And we've asked you during these last 21 days to pray over these 7 names of God. Prayer God. Every day for the last, was it today? Is it day 17? 17 messages I've been preaching every single day, looking at one of the 7 redemptive names of God. Why have I been doing that? Because I want you to learn to pray like Abraham. Abraham was able to do this negotiation because he said, God, I know you don't judge the righteous with the wicked. I know you make a difference. I know that you're righteous. I know that you're just. I know what your nature is. And I know that what you just said is not in line with your nature. So someone says, how can I know the nature of God? Well, God will call himself the Lord of your righteousness, Yahweh Tzitzit Kanu. That's what's in this here. It's what I gave you. That's why I'm asking you to pray these. Because I want you to allow these things. If God says, I am Yahweh Rapha, your healer. Let me ask you a question. What do you think is the nature and the will of someone who calls himself, I am the God, your healer? What do you think his nature is? What do you think his will is? So now I'm not going to pray prayers. Well, God, I know you put this on me so you can get glory, and I know you did this, and I know you may not want to heal me. And well, sometimes God does, sometimes God doesn't. We never really know. That's not in line with the nature of God. Nowhere in the Bible does God say, I am Yahweh sicko. Nowhere. I've looked. But he does call himself Yahweh Rapha. He does call himself Yahweh Jireh. Can I hear an amen? That's the Lord who is our provider. Well, that means I don't have to wonder. I don't know. Let's just think for a moment. What do you think might be the will and the nature of a person who calls himself provider? To do what? Amen? That means that my prayers now, when I'm in prayer and I'm in communion with God and I'm asking God, when I look at these things about the, what do you think? Yahweh Nissi, the Lord who is my victor. That's what it means. God said, I am Yahweh, your Nissi. I am your victor. Well, I don't know. Sometimes we win. Sometimes we lose. It's just a part. No. What do you think the will and the nature of somebody who calls himself your victory is? Is what? Is what? Victory. What do you think God wants for your life? Victory. That's why Apostle Paul would say things like, thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph through Christ Jesus. That's why Paul would go through and say, you know, I went through this mess and I went through this battle and I went through this. And one time he's at the end of his life, he starts giving us a laundry list of all his problems. But then at the very end of his list, here's what he says. He said, when I look at all the problems, he said, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Come on, somebody. Somebody say, oh, I don't know. I don't know about that. What about that thorn in the flesh? Well, what about it? When you look at the date of when Paul said about the thorn in the flesh, but then you look at the date and the conditions of out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Do you know what that means? What we find? We find that God, if he delivered him out of them all, he even delivered him out of that thorn. Some of you. How can I pray in line with the nature of God? Well, first of all, I'm going to learn about what God says about himself. You know, when you begin to learn the names of God, when you begin to learn about what God says about himself and what he calls himself, when you begin to learn that, you can spot false doctrine like that. Because the first thing I can do, when I hear something, the first thing I can do is go, does that line up with the names of God? Because if it doesn't line up with the names of God, I already know it's wrong. Amen? How was Abraham able to pray this? Why did God not turn him into a greasy spot? Who are you to back-sass me? Why did he not do that? Because Abraham was praying in his nature. He was touching his nature. God's a God of mercy. Amen? He knew the nature of God, therefore it didn't matter what was going to happen. I know what you say about yourself. I know how you are, and this ain't how you are, so you and I need to talk because this thing needs to line up with who you are. And I'm going to tell you right now, that moves the heart of God. Amen? Number two, God wants us to pray specifically. Somebody say specifically. That's sometimes hard for me to say for some reason. I say pacifically. Notice his prayer. He was praying, I want 50. I want 45. I want 40. I want 30. I want 20. I want 10. He didn't pray general prayers. I want you to hear what I'm about to tell you right now. I had to learn this because I don't know what it is about general prayers that we feel like that we just kind of need to give God an out. So I'm just going to kind of pray some generalized prayers so it don't put too much pressure on him. Can I say this to you? God wants you to pray specifically. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark 10. Mark 10, 49 through 42. Mark 10, 49 through 52, rather. There's this blind man that's going to start calling out to Jesus, and everybody's trying to shut him up, but he keeps calling out. Finally, Jesus stopped. Verse 49, it says, Jesus stopped. Somebody say, Jesus stopped. Now, what we know about Jesus is he wasn't just wandering around like some of y'all do at Walmart. Now, I don't wander around Walmart. I'm on a mission. I know where I'm going. I look at the store map. I go, bam, 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 I'm out. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. But while I'm doing that, I'm noticing people just kind of Meandering. Jesus wasn't a meanderer. He had a mission. But I want you to see something about this blind man. This blind man got Jesus to stop in his tracks. He said, call him here. So they called the blind man and said to him, take courage, stand up. He's calling you. Verse 50, throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, I want you to hear this question. What do you want me to do for you? Now he's staring at a blind man who's also a beggar. And Jesus knows this. He not only knows it because he has divine omniscience, he also knows it because he can see this is a blind beggar. And you would think that, oh, Jesus, 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 help me, have mercy on me. That's what he kept crying out. That's a general prayer. God, have mercy on me. But that's not, didn't help him. Jesus is now standing before him and he said, what do you want me to do for you? See, we think, well, God knows everything that I need. He's just going to do whatever I need because he knows. Somebody say, he knows. He knows. He knows what you have need of. However, that's true. There is still something, and I ain't got time to dig all this out theologically, but I'll just tell you, there is still something within the heart of God I have to learn to ask specifically. This man could have said anything at that moment because it was obvious this man needed to be healed of blindness. It was obvious that God needed to turn his financial situation around. Everything that he had was obvious and he was crying out for mercy. Most churches think that's exactly all you need to do and then leave it all up to God. And that is not how prayers get answered. I'm just telling you that for a fact. Prayers get answered when you start saying, God, I am asking you to do blank. And you get as specific as your faith will allow you to get. On the back of this prayer guide, we have you to pray your 10 greatest needs. And we ask, I want you to write on this. And I've been telling you to do it for this reason. Because God answers specific requests. Be specific. Had a person come up to me tonight telling me about a miracle that God did in their body where God turned something around, but they needed a particular part of their body to be able to have a certain level of blood flow, and the doctors were expecting it to be bad, but she said, now I got to mark off the first thing off my list because God answered what I asked him to do in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. It wasn't no general prayer. He said to Jesus, Rabboni, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. And immediately, what did he get? Regained his sight. He got what he asked Jesus for. You're going to get what you asked Jesus for. And I want you to be as specific as your faith will allow you to be. And I often will tell people, now look, my faith ain't where I believe God for I can get a green Lamborghini. I'm not there yet. However, I did have a young person in this church that said, well, your faith may not be there, but mine is. You go with it. Showed me a picture. Come on now. Get as specific as your faith will allow. Let me tell you what the answers to prayers that I've ever gotten. Answers to prayers that I've gotten were when I wrote it down and I'm like, I want this. I want it to be this. I want it to look like this. And guess what? I got that. My kids will tell you that they've seen on the refrigerator, we are believing for an X, Y, and Z color, year, everything. And then what made a change in their life is when they saw God do the thing that was on there, and I had to mark it out and put the date that God did it. It does something to your faith. Well, now you start going, well, how specific can I get? As specific as you want. Amen? Number three, what do we see about this prayer? God wants us to pray with compassion for others. Abraham prayed for the wicked and the righteous. Now, I know some assume that he was asking just for his nephew Lot and his family. We don't know that. You're guessing, because it never says it. I don't know who all he was praying for. Probably included Lot and his family. But he was saying, Lord, you're not going to destroy everybody, are you? There was an attitude that Abraham had. He could have said, oh, you're going to destroy those people? Well, it ain't my business. I'm walking on. He understood that the blessing that... Listen to me, church. He understood that the blessing that was on his life and the relationship with God that he had, it wasn't just about him. He was standing in the gap for somebody else. Turn to Genesis 12. Turn to Genesis 12. And I got to hurry, but just Genesis 12. It says, now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country. I'm reading verse 1, Genesis 12, 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land I will show you. Verse 2, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great. Stop right there. That's where we stop. Oh, that's me. But notice the next part of what's supposed to happen. And you shall be a blessing. The blessing of God on my life ain't just for me. And I'm not supposed to use it just for me. Amen? I'm supposed to not just be blessed, but I'm blessed so that I can become a blessing. Go on, keep reading. He says, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. Let me stop right there and say, you better watch who you curse. Because you curse somebody who's blessed, it's going to be a problem to you. Amen? That's why you better keep your mouth shut. But anyway, that's another message. And in you, this message got a hold of Abram. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. It wasn't just about him. He knew that. God told him, look, I'm going to bless you, but it ain't just for you. And this is where we mess up. We think, listen, when let me put it to you real just down where we live. Somebody gives me money, I know that money ain't all for me. That money ain't all for me. I know what God wants me to do with that. I'm going to bless people with that money. Amen? I know the stuff that God does in my life, that ain't just for me. The stuff God does in your life, let me get a drink here. The stuff that God does in your life is not just for you. Let me give you some scripture. I'm just going to read them. I'm not going to comment on them. James 5:16. Confess your sins one another and pray for one another. Everybody say, pray for one another. That you may be healed. Job 42:10. The Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he did what? Prayed for his friends. 1 Timothy 2:1, first of all, I urge that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all. Everybody say all. Ephesians 6:18, and with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. My prayers shouldn't just be about me, my four, and no more. And I actually got more than four. but it doesn't rhyme. It ain't supposed to be just about me. Can I hear an amen? Your blessing that God's doing on your life ain't just for you. Amen? Abraham knew, wait a minute, yeah, God's blessing me. God could have said, yeah, I'm getting ready to destroy Sodom. And God said, well, I'm glad I'm not in Sodom and I'm going on my merry way. Sorry about your luck. How you like me now? That wasn't his attitude. He didn't have any skin in this game. But he's like, God, I know that what you're doing in my life, it ain't just for me. I need to be blessed so I can be a blessing. And I think that some of the things that happen in our lives is we think that the blessing is about us and it don't work. Let me tell you something. God didn't ask you to be a reservoir that just kind of... Okay, I'm done. Hold on a second. He didn't just ask you to be a reservoir just about you. God wants you to be a funnel. Amen? And when he can find some funnels, people that can receive but also know how to give, guess what? He's going to start causing your receiving to go to another level. And I know there's some people in this house that in 2024, your receiving is going to go to another level because he has found in you some people who know how to bless somebody. Somebody give God a hand of praise in this house. God's blessed us to be a blessing. Number four, God wants you to pray with a bold humility. He kept praying. He said, now look, God, I know I'm nothing. I know I'm flesh and blood, but God, I'm going to keep asking you. Amen? I'm going to keep asking. And there was a boldness about his asking. I don't know if he was standing there and his knees were knocking because he's scared that I might just push God just a little. You ever been with someone and you knew that you could push them only so far? I worked with a man who was known for having a big temper. But I learned him enough. I could tell where the line is. Y'all know, am I here? Know what I'm talking about? I don't know if, listen, we know the whole story. I don't know if Abraham was quite sure what was going to happen. But there was a boldness inside of him to keep on asking. And you would think, well, okay, if there's 50, he got the deal. He got what he asked for. That's good enough. No, it wasn't. He said, I'm going to ask you for something else now. I'm going to ask you, you can do 45? Great. We're going to go 40, God. Come on, 40, God. Come on, 40, God. Oh, 30? Oh, okay, yeah, 30. Come on now, God. 20, 20, 20. Come on, God. 20, 20, 10. Now, theologians like to argue over stupid stuff. They're like, well, why did he stop at 10? I don't know. And neither do you. The Bible doesn't tell us why he stopped at 10. You can make any guess you want, but that's all as good it is a guess. All I'm looking at is not why he stopped at 10. How did he get to 10? He prayed bold prayers. You listen to the prayers of a lot of folk. First of all, let me just say this. Thank God they're praying because we got a bunch of prayerless saints, but that's another message. But even amongst those that pray, the kind of prayers they pray are meaningless. Not praying bold prayers. They're praying prayers that they could get done without God. I want to challenge you this year. I want to challenge you to start praying prayers that only God could answer that prayer. You see, God even challenges us. I don't know where this scripture is, but half y'all on your phone anyway, so Google this scripture. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. God didn't say barely open your mouth. God said open up. How much can you ask for? Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20, God said this. He said, I am able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that you can ask or what? We preached this past Sunday on what can you imagine. I'm going to ask you to get your imagination out, your Holy Ghost faith-filled imagination out. Amen. Begin to start thinking in line and say, God, I thank you, Lord, I can think. What can I think about? What can I think that God could do? What could I do? And God said, look, you can't outthink my power. You can't outthink me. We pray two small prayers. My fourth and final point, and you can stand up. We see he was persistent. Somebody say persistent. He didn't stop. He didn't stop. He kept asking. Kept asking. Luke 18, you don't have to turn there. I promise you I'm reading the real Bible, so don't, I'm not making it up. Verse 1, it says, he was telling them a parable to show them that they ought to pray and not lose heart. Somebody say, pray and not lose heart. In a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God nor respect man. But there was a widow in that city. Widows are powerless, not influential, no ability to protect themselves. It says, in that city, and she kept crying out to this judge, give me legal protection from my opponent. That's what she would say. For a while, he was unwilling. Now, what was the point of this story? Y'all forget already? Verse 1, that people ought to pray and what? And not what? Go back to verse 1 so everyone sees this. Y'all see verse 1? This is the point of this parable. To pray and what? Not lose heart. Now let's go back to our story. Verse 4. And for a while he was unwilling. But afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me. I like that. You ever been bothered by somebody? You have. You know, they're like, text you, and then text you again, and then text you again. Then your phone rings, and it's them. You're like, shh. Maybe you're not like me. This widow bothers me. I told God the other day about a certain situation. I'm going to bother you about this. I'm going to bother you. I'm going to bother you until this changes. Amen? Well, yeah, you can't say that to God. Jesus, listen to this. I will give her protection, otherwise by her continual coming, she wear me out. One, I know the Greek a little bit more in Hebrew. I read after the, one guy who studied the Greek said that that was a euphemism for saying, she's going to black my eyes. An amazing thing. Now listen to what we're supposed to do with this. Verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. So what did the unjudge say? He said, because this widow bothers me, I will give her protection. Otherwise, by her continual coming, she wear him out. He said, listen to what he said. And now, will God not bring justice for his elect? Guess what? Everyone in this room is his elect. Who do what? Who cry out to him day and night. Somebody say day and night. Sounds like immersion to me. Day and night, he will not delay. Verse 8, I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. And then he asked this question, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? had someone say, well, if you pray more than once, that's a lack of faith. Well, evidently, they didn't read Luke 18. You know what faith looks like? Night and day, God, give me justice. Night and day, God, rise up for me. Night and day, God, I'm ready. I'm here. I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to stay right here. Hello? Come on. God, you're going to give me justice. I'm like, you can't do God that way. Jesus said I'm supposed to do. That's what faith looks like. Faith looks like, God, can I have 50? Oh, yeah. Okay, great. Can I have 45? Yeah, you know. Can I have 40? Oh, yeah. Can I have? That's what faith looks like. Did you hear me, church? It doesn't quit. I want you to step out of your seat and join me up front if you don't mind. And don't steal my phone. It's on that right there. I know what church I'm in. I know where I'm at. The blessing of Abraham's on you. God says, negotiate with me. Come, negotiate with me. Call on me because of my nature. Do you know my nature? Well, I got his name. That's a good place to start. I know you're a provider, so we're going to talk about this provision stuff. We're going to talk about this because I know you want to provide for me. And some of you all are in a place of lack, and you've accepted that. You've accepted, well, I don't have enough, and that's just how it is, and no one, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, excuse me a second. Have you negotiated with God about that? Because if you knew his nature, you knew that lack is not part of his nature, but provision is part of his nature. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Well, I'm sick. I've been sick, and everybody in my family's sick, and all of them been sick, and I guess this is how it is. How about you negotiate with God and say, God, I don't know about this, because you said you're a healer, but yet I'm not in a place of healing right now. We need to get this fixed. Amen? Well, that's disrespectful to the Lord. No, it's praying in line with his nature. Amen? And some of us in this house quit too easy. We get a little bit, and then we stop. Tonight, I want you to lift up your hands up before the Lord right now. I don't know what you need before God, but I want you right now to begin. I know you may not want to say it out loud. I know we got prayers in this house, and some stuff, it's just too sensitive, and you don't want anybody to know. I get that, but I want you, in some way, I don't need to be loud right now. I want you to ask God for something in line with his nature, as you're the one who will forgive you, as the one who will heal you, as the one who will provide for you, as the one who knows how to give you peace, as the one who knows how to give you direction, as the God who knows how to give you victory over every situation. Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, God, I pray that we find that we be a church in this house, God, in this community, God, that knows how to negotiate with the Lord, that when we see something in our life that didn't quite line up, doesn't reconcile with who we know you are, tonight, God, we pray. Come on, open your mouth right now. Some of y'all been tolerating some stuff, and God's like, come before me right now. Come before me right now. God, I don't want to pray no little prayers. God, tonight we're not praying little prayers tonight, God. God, we're going to open our mouth wide, God. God, we're going to start asking for some stuff, God, that only God can do in Jesus' name. God, we're going to start praying for some things, God, that only you can do. And God, I pray over this house. I pray over this community, God. I thank you for signs and wonders and miracles, God, taking place in this house, God, tonight. God, I thank you, Lord, there's coming such a revival in this church and in this community that this sanctuary will not be big enough for what you're about to do in Jesus' name, God, this year. Lord, we are asking for it tonight. Come on, we are asking for it tonight. Come on, what's it going to look like? Begin to tell God, Lord, it's going to look like this. This is what I'm asking for. No general prayers. No, well, God, just bless me any way you know how. No. God says, ask me. What do you want me to do? 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 Well, God, you know. No. What do you want me to do for you? And don't move. Look at me. Don't you move. Don't you move. Don't you buckle. Don't you give in. Don't you back off. Not one little bit, because God ain't going to back off. Can I hear an amen? Now, God wouldn't tell me to pray prayers and give me a thing and say, you need to pray and not lose heart. if every time I open my mouth, boom, instantly it was there. You wouldn't need, you won't even have time to lose heart. You got it. For God to say that, it means that sometimes you're going to pray for stuff and it might take a little bit of time. Amen? And you might get tempted to do what? Well, I guess God chose not to do that. Who gave up? You or God? Don't give up on God. You may have to keep asking. And you may have to keep asking. But some of y'all, look, some of y'all are irritating anyway. It's a joke. Kinda, it's a joke. God said, bother me. Bother me. Bother me. Bother me. Don't be afraid to bother him. Because the reality is, you're not a bother. You're not a bother. Keep coming. Be that belligerent person. That's just going to keep, I'm going to keep talking about it. I'm going to keep talking about it. Every time I think of it, I told the Lord, I said, God, every time I think about it, you and I are going to have a meeting about this. I'm going to bother you about this. And I've done it about other things. And you know what happened? I guess God's like, he ain't going to shut up. So we're going to go ahead and get this done. So he'll leave me alone on this. Be that person. Amen? Be that person to God. You can't be that way to others. You don't be that way to people. I got to be sweet to people. Right? Why? People are limited. People are limited. Limited energy, limited resources. But God says, I'm not limited. You can ask me for anything. Amen? Did you get anything out of this tonight? Can you give the Lord a great big hand of praise?
Become a kingdom building partner today online at johncarmichael.net. With your prayer and financial gift each month, we are seeing miracles, restorations in families and salvations, and you can be a part of that. Consider becoming a Kingdom Building Partner today online. Kingdom Now is the media outreach of John Carmichael Ministries USA. All gifts to the ministry are tax deductible where applicable, minus the fair market value of any gifts received. For more information, visit www.johncarmichael.net.